Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it was on my heart, to pray for spouses. I don't know why, but praise the Lord if you're looking for one or if you want one or whatever. Praise God. God is good. He hears your prayer. Amen. Just keep being faithful. But you know, I was also, as I was praying, I was also directed on something to remind people that, you know, our faithfulness is always attached to whatever happens. God's will doesn't happen automatically, and God's plan doesn't happen automatically, but only as the people of God connect to that. And so, you know, here's the thing. There's people that are out there right now that God's dealing with, and they won't listen to God, and because of that, somebody else is waiting for them to come in because they want to get married. Praise the Lord. But on the other hand, you know, that makes you think, well, maybe I need to make sure that I'm doing, because there's things that depend on what I'm doing too. Yeah. Amen? See, that's the thing that we forget. You know, we try to get across to people is that everything that we do is connected to somebody and some other things. Amen? And so when we are faithful to follow God's plan, He is able to move all those things into place. Amen? Glory to God. You know, God, I mean, there was so much just in announcements today. I was starting to write down these things because I was like, man, there's so many good nuggets in there. And my wife was mentioning, this came to me about a laughing giant. You know, my wife was talking about that, and it came to me as she was talking that have you ever seen maybe in a movie or something or a wrestler, you got this really 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 large guy, a really big giant of a person, right, standing there, big muscular, and this little peewee comes up to him and starts threatening him or whatever. What does the giant do? He laughs. Why does he laugh? Because he knows that there's no way that he can be defeated. See, a giant is symbolic of what a Christian is, what we've been made to be. And so when trial comes against you, if you realize who you were, you just laugh. And I'm not talking about fake laugh. You just laugh because you realize, wait a minute, Pee-wee's coming up to me. The Bible tells us that we'll look on Satan at some point and say, are you kidding me? This is the one that made the nations tremble. That's what the Bible tells us. So if the Bible says it, we might as well just believe it. Let's just start doing it now. When the devil starts rearing his head, when he starts coming against you, when he starts putting the press on you, start laughing. Just get in joy. Just say, you know what? This is nothing. My God is the God who created all heaven and all earth. My God is the God who created all things that I see and all the things that I don't see. My God is the one who had the plan. My God is the one who redeemed me. That same God sent Jesus so I could start walking in the power of God. So if God be for me, who be against me? Right? Doesn't the Bible say that too? So why don't we just start laughing at the trial? I'm not saying, you know, pull out some fake laugh and try. No, let's just laugh at the trial because we know it can't take us out. It can't get you. I said it can't get you. There's nothing that the world can bring against you that you can't conquer if you stay in Jesus. Well, I don't know about you, but I already preach myself happy, amen. We could go home and say we had church right there, but you know that I've been pent up and I can't. So we're gonna have a message anyways, amen. Praise the Lord. But God is good. You know, if we take one thing away from a service, praise the Lord. If you just came in today and you didn't know that and I just told you that, that was enough to change your whole life. That would change your whole life, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, as promised, on Friday night, and if you weren't here Friday night, I highly, 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 highly suggest to get the message. It'll be online within the next Monday night, okay? By Monday night, it'll be online. So I highly suggest you listen to it. It's about going through trial and how to go through trial, amen? And those are things we need. But I talked Friday night about prayer today. I'd be preaching about prayer, amen? And that's exactly the direction that we have. Praise the Lord. So my message today is called, What is Prayer? What is prayer? You know, see, so many people talk about prayer. So many people, we talk about praying, well, I'll pray for you. And some people say, I think about you. Well, thinking about people don't really do any good. Because if you're just thinking about them, you can send good thoughts. You can't send good thoughts is what I mean. I was going to say you can send good thoughts, but it won't do anything. But really, you can't send good thoughts. Well, how do you send a thought? Yeah, like seriously, like everything else that we know is tangible. Let's not be like the rest of the fools in this world and start thinking we can do things that we can't do. Amen? You can't send thoughts. How do you send a thought? Send me your thoughts. Somebody give me a thought. Well, I can see it on your face, so don't tell me. Like, I didn't have to get sent the thought. I can see it on your face. I see what you're thinking. But see, the thing is if I put a bag over your head, which I might do if you look at me like that again. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I put a bag over your head, I ain't going to know what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? See, people talk about sending thoughts, but what good does that do? I don't care if you send me. Don't send me thoughts. Send me money. Don't send me thoughts. Pray. Don't send me thoughts. Do something. Amen? Listen, like sending thoughts does no good. So if you've been one of those Facebook posters that like to send thoughts, well, just don't anymore. Amen? Praise God. We have a God that works according to prayer. He works according to our speech. It works according to our mouths, what we say, what we do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't need to send thoughts. We need to get into stuff that actually does something. Praise the Lord. So I looked up prayer, and I got into some study of what prayer is. And I thought it was pretty interesting what I found about it. Prayer is an act that seeks to activate a bond or close personal relationship with an object of worship through deliberate communication. Praise the Lord. Let me say that again. Prayer is an act. So it's something you do, and the purpose of doing it is to activate a bond or a close personal relationship with an object of worship, i.e. God, right? Praise the Lord. So we say to activate a close personal relationship with God through deliberate communication. Deliberate communication means you intended to do it, and that's what you were going to do. Prayer is not just asking God for stuff. See, a lot of people think are taught, and they just think that prayer is just going to God and asking Him for something. But that's not what prayer is at all. Prayer is the communication to activate that relationship, to foster a relationship between you and God. Amen? Praise God. You know, they used to use the word pray. I pray you to do this, or I pray you. It's basically to ask or whatever, but that's what they were saying by it. But the word used to be used a lot more than it is today. But prayer is literally, it's about coming together and talking and having a relationship. Now, I want to ask you something. Can you have a relationship with something that don't talk back to you? No. Can you have a relationship with your chair? No. You can sit in your chair, you can be comfortable in your chair, you can sleep in your chair, but your chair is not going to have a relationship back. Why? There's no back and forth, amen? You can't build a relationship on something that can't respond. You know what I mean? Why can we have a relationship with animals? Praise the Lord, because animals will respond. You know, you don't have to have just a relationship with humans, but they'll respond to you. You can't have a relationship with a tree. You know, there's tree huggers out there, and praise the Lord for tree huggers. We love them too. Amen. But tree hugging ain't going to, you aren't going to get any, that tree ain't going to do anything for you. Amen. It's not going to respond to you. It's not going to come. But we want to build relationship with God. And see, what we understand is the reason, and this is where kind of religion has got in, and the wrong thinking has got in, and this is where people get off. And the reason I talk about where people get off is because when something doesn't work, there's always a reason that it doesn't work, and the reason is never on God's end. Amen? I said when something doesn't work, there's always a reason it doesn't work, and the reason is never because God didn't want it to work. God didn't create things. If any of you are a builder or a mechanic, or you made anything in your life, you didn't make it with the intent when what you made it for. Right? That would be foolishness, right? Has anyone ever baked a cake hoping that it didn't come out as a cake but came out as bread instead? Did you ever bake bread and hope that it came out as a turkey instead? No, that's foolishness. You wouldn't do something that doesn't make sense. See, God is the ultimate like mind. He's the ultimate creator. He didn't create all of this to just kind of flop around and fall apart. That's not why God created this. He didn't create you and I to flop around and fall apart. He created us to work right. Praise the Lord. God didn't create you broken. He created you fixed. Praise the Lord. He created you to do things the way He intended. Amen. But see, the thing is that when we get away from the knowledge of what things are for, or what we are created for, or what we are to do with all this, then we get to this place where we just don't understand God or anything that's going around us. And why do I bring all this up? Because in prayer, that's exactly what happens. People go to God in prayer. They have no idea what prayer is even about. They have no idea what prayer is for. They think that prayer is just going to God when something is not working right and saying, God, will you fix this? But that's not what the purpose of prayer was for. See, the idea of prayer was to bring us into that place of having an actual, not a metaphorical, but an actual relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's what prayer was meant for, so we could have an actual relationship. Listen, I'm going to go back to what I said before. Can you have a relationship with a chair? Why? Because it doesn't respond to you. It doesn't come back. So if you are to have a relationship with God, do you think about that? If you are to have a relationship with God, if he's inactive, if he isn't talking back, if he isn't coming upon you, if you don't know this God, if God is just some figment of your imagination, if God is just this thing that you thought about must be out there, then you don't have a relationship with God. You don't understand what a relationship with God is even about. The sad thing is so much of God's church, his holy, beautiful body of Christ, has no idea. My hand knows all about my foot. Why? Because when my foot itches, my hand scratches it. Amen? When something's sore, my hands rub it. They know each other, right? Praise the Lord. And see, that's the same thing with God. The Bible tells us that we are his body. Jesus is the head, but we are his body. Why do you think that Jesus said, why do you think he used these metaphors? Why do you think he, and it's not just a metaphor, we are actually the body of Christ. We are the body. Some of you may be hands. Some of you may be feet. Some of you may be legs. Heck, some of you may be butts, but praise the Lord, you're part of the body. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just be thankful that you're engrafted in, if you're engrafted in. But see, there's only one way to be engrafted in, that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So prayer is about building a relationship with God and getting to know God. And see, when we get to know the Word, when we get to know God, then we start to understand some things, that we don't have to sit there and just plead all the time for what we want, because God just wants to give it to us. See, this is the thing. A Christian, most Christians will go to what we call scared prayers. And when something happens, oh, we better start praying. Pastor, you got to pray for me. No. If you have been praying, if you've been doing your part, if you've just been living as a Christian the way a Christian should be, then something happens, you ain't got to freak out. You ain't got to get 10 million people to pray for you. You just say, well, that doesn't mean it's right to get someone to agree with you in prayer. And that's a whole nother. Prayer is actually a really large subject, and we're not covering it all today. But we're going to start in Philippians 4:6. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:6. Don't you love the Word? The Word will always, always, always keep us straight. That's why people who don't go to church don't know the Word, and their lives are all a mess. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you're not hearing the Word, you're not building faith. And if you're not building faith, you're not living according to the way God has you, and your life is broken and a mess. But we teach people the Word week in and week out, whether we like it or not, because it fixes us, it helps us, it gets us on our way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Found Philippians 4:6. What's it say? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Hallelujah. There is so much, and we're going to try to get it all today. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. There's two words there. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is, what I tell you, prayer is that basically building a relationship through purposeful communication. So it means you're not just going to God and saying, hey, Lord, I need this today. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. Do you spend time with God? Your praise is a form of prayer. Father, I just praise you and worship you. People think it's weird, but they don't understand that they're neglecting part of that relationship between them and God. And that's why they don't have a strong relationship with God. And that's why they don't see the prayers that they want answered, because they don't have any relationship with them. Hey, my kids can come to me and ask me for anything, and just about anything, I'll give it to them. And if I don't have it, I'll try to get it. Praise the Lord. But somebody on the street comes up to me and says, hey, give me $5. I'm not just going to give it to them. Why? Because there's not a relationship there. We haven't built something. Now, you know, there's times where I'm not saying that we don't go out in the world and we be good to people. But as a whole, aren't you a lot better to your own than you are to others? Why? because you have a close personal relationship with them. The same thing is with God. There's people all the time that neglect God constantly in their life, though he calls out to them, though he's always there for them, though he's provided a way for them. The only time they'll go see him, the only time they'll have anything with him is when they're in trouble, and then they wonder why their prayer is never answered. And so then religious people sit around stinking up the place, sitting there thinking about how, well, this and that. You can't pray. Listen, if you don't have anything to do with God, you can't go to God in prayer and receive a lick of anything. The only thing that God will have for you first is salvation. And once you do that, you have to do something with it. This is why people go without. You have all kinds of, I've had people I know that say, hey, I'm praying for you, and I know that they know nothing about God, that they want nothing to do with God. Don't bother. You're wasting your breath. You might as well eat chips or something, because you're going to get more out of that than you will your prayer. Listen, if we don't have a relationship with God, why would we expect, if you have a spouse, or if you don't have a spouse, you can imagine having a spouse, or you can get the idea of what a spouse is like. And if you can't, just watch a stinking movie, all right? Quit bothering me. But we got to get to something here. If you had a spouse and you're sitting there with your spouse and there's never anything, never any communication, never any love, never any affection, never any, you know what, my wife, if I just walked in and I was just gruff with my wife all the time and never told her that she was pretty or never told her that I thought she looked attractive, and then when it was time for me to want something, I just wanted it, she'd probably be a lot less likely to give it. Why? Because people don't, without a relationship, there's nothing there. You understand? Like if my kids just were constantly when they're little, they're like that. But you there are things you get back and forth. Amen. But you know, when kids, sometimes kids do that. They go up and they about their parents. They leave them aside and they just kind of go off and live their own lives. Praise the Lord. You know, I love the fact that my mom put this idea in me that I could never move away. I don't even know if she ever told me that, but I just knew that I couldn't. I just knew I couldn't. I love it though now. Why? Because I get to spend time with my mom. I get to spend time with my family. My brothers are not too far from me. If we need to get together for something, we want to get together, we're here. I love that my mom put that in me. Praise the Lord. Because, and I put that in my kids. You can't move away. Praise the Lord. You move the backyard, but you can't move away. Right, Bubba? Praise the Lord. No, we're working on getting him, you know, his own place in the backyard. Amen. Glory to God. But this is families were meant to take care of each other and put, you know, and be together and stuff like that. And if you have families that live far away, you know, I'm not coming down on you. I'm just saying you did it all wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. That was a joke. Come on. It was just to lighten things up. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not saying family is important. You all know family is important. But you know that if there's no relationship there, that it just wouldn't be as enjoyable. It wouldn't be something that you would want to even invest in. Man, we think all the time, we're so thankful for our family. Aren't we saying all the time, I just love my family. I just love being with my family. You know, we try to plan little trips and stuff, and we even bring mom along too sometimes. Amen? Praise the Lord. But it just means so much. But God's the same way. Why would God want to give all his promises to you if you just completely rejected all the time and threw it away? You know, the house of the Lord is a perfect example of that. God wanted his people to come together. Is there any parent that doesn't want their kids to get together on vacation or on Thanksgiving or on Christmas? How many parents don't want that to happen? God's intended us to come together, you know, and I understand there's things that come up and stuff. I'm not saying that if you miss church, God forbid you're the worst Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if your habit is to not be in the house of God, if that's your habit, if your habit is to reject the Lord and never to have anything to do with him, you know, we don't teach these things because we want a full house. We teach these things because we want people helped. We want people walking the fullness that God has for them. We teach the fullness. And you know what's funny? The people that say that what we teach is an error are people that are out there living exactly the way I'm telling you not to live. And you can look at a relationship and just say it'd be foolishness to think you're going to have a relationship with a God who you don't ever do anything for. Right? I mean, is this something that is so hard? Is this such a concept that is so understandable? Is this something that is so hard to get? No, it's not hard. Well, just think about love. God's a God of love. Anybody disagree with God's a God of love? Praise the Lord. We don't want to stone you. God is a God of love. The Bible tells us God's a God of love. Well, what does the very nature of love tells us? If you don't, like, if I never came home to my wife, she would not think that I loved her. If I never spent time with my wife, she would not think that I loved her. If my wife never did anything for me, if she was never part of the relationship, if she just did this and that and this and that and always forgot about me, I would never think that she loved. See, that's what love is. Love is coming together. Love is forsaking your own because you understand there is really not a bad thing. You know, see, and that's the thing about forsaking. I want to talk about that. Forsaking everything else is not like we act like it's this horrible thing. Like coming together is not a horrible thing. My wife talked about church. You know, like you wouldn't just be satisfied going on vacation for one day a year, would you? No. What do you want to do? You want to go for weeks and weeks. But if we understand what coming together in the house of the Lord, we have a special meeting, and Pastor Michael's coming, and he's bringing something for us from God, then you do everything you can. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody will be able to be at every service. But the point is that if you make things a priority, if you make the things of God a priority, then you have this relationship. I'm talking about prayer. Glory to God. I mean, if it seems that way or not. But see, this is the thing. If we want to receive, we have to understand that we have to have a relationship. And that's what I'm building here, is that idea that if we don't have a relationship with God, we can't have everything that God has for us. God has to be important to us. Amen? Now, He provided everything for us, the access to everything. It's in a storage container waiting for us, and that storage container is called salvation. God has provided it all for us already. So you don't have question whether or not He will, because He already did. You understand? So that we know that He already did through the Son of His, through His Son and the blood of His Son. Praise the Lord! He provided everything for us. We have to access that, but see, to access that, we have to choose to, and we have to choose to do the things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Supplication is prayer that ask God for something. Amen? It's prayer that asks God for something. So we see prayer is not just asking God for something, but it is building a relationship. Supplication by all things through prayer and supplication. Building the relationship through the communicating between you and your Heavenly Father. And then when you go to Him, it's not weird that you ask. It's not weird that my daughter comes up to me and asks me for a sandwich. It's not weird that my son comes up to me and asks me to borrow the truck to do this or to do this. It's not weird, right? Is there anybody in here who think it would be weird if someone in their family came up to him? No. Why? Because you have the relationship already. Amen. So it's important to understand. Now hold your place in Philippians, because we're going to be back there, and we're going to turn to Hebrews 11, scripture that we are well familiar with. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please Him without faith. For he, and this is what faith is. This is, it goes on to tell, for he who comes to God. Okay, look at this. Who's coming to God? That's what prayer is. He who comes to God, that's when you come to God, that's what you're doing. You're praying to God. You're building, you're seeking to build that relationship with Him. For he who comes to God must believe. They must believe. This is an absolute prerequisite to coming to God and receiving anything. You must believe that God is. And when we've talked about this before, because we've used this scripture so many times, but believing that God is does not mean that He exists. But when you study it out, you understand it means that it's God is who He says that He is. That He will do what He said He will do. That's what pleases God, is when we believe that. How would, and let me put this in terms of, so you can understand it in human terms. How would you feel if somebody that relied on you, maybe say a child or something like that, it's so awesome that we've been given this wonderful thing called family, because it just gives us the example of how our Heavenly Father. See, everything in earth is an example of what God wants to do, amen, the things that He's given us. So, praise the Lord. But how would you feel if you were a parent and child. I remember when I was teaching Mark, he had to jump into a pool. And I was in the pool, I was standing in the pool, and I was like, jump to me. And he was afraid, he didn't want to. And I would say, just come to me. And he was afraid, he didn't want to. And he just, you know, this goes back and forth. And this usually happens the first time. And the same thing when I was teaching Ezra how to ride a bike, or Caleb how to ride a bike, or I think I taught Mark too, praise the Lord. But if I didn't, he still learned anyway. So he's riding a bike and it's all good, amen. But we know we taught him how to jump into a pool, so we'll stay in that line. So you're standing there, and I would be frustrated because I'm just like, just trust me, I'm your dad. I will never let you fall. I'm not going to let you get to bottom out. I'm not going to let you drown. I will keep you up. You don't even need floaties as far as I'm concerned, because I'm here. I'm your floatie. I'll keep you in the water, amen? Praise the Lord. And I will run next to you. When I was teaching Ezra this summer how to ride a bike, I would say, I will run next to you. I'll be right here with you. I'm not going to let you fall or get hurt. What's frustrating is when they won't do it because they don't trust you. This is exactly what God is talking about here. It pleases God when we trust him, when we say, Lord, I understand everything that you've done for me, everything that you provided for me, and your wonderful word that you've given me, I trust you. So when you say to do it, I'll step out, I'll be able to. See, this is what God wants. This is what believing that God is. Amen? Praise the Lord. It means that you believe, you trust in him, you trust in who he is, because who God is what he does. You can't separate the two. As Christians, who we are should be what we do. Yeah. If you call yourself a Christian, you should be doing the things that Christians are supposed to do. What's that? Forgiving one another. Loving one another. I see Christians who get mad at each other. I've been in this place. Praise the Lord. You get mad at somebody for something, and maybe you're legitimately right. But how would that work in your household if you just hold grudges against each other? But people do that too. Praise God. One of the reasons that my wife and I have such a fantastic relationship is because one thing we don't do is hold things against each other. Praise the Lord. We have heaven on earth. Well, how would the church people then hold things against each other? Yeah. I mean, we've had people be so snarky to us over the years. Praise the Lord. We have had people come up to us and done some horrible things. Christians. Praise God. Pray for them. You know what I mean? But see, that's the thing, is that the very idea is that when we don't forgive, if we don't love, we can't walk in. We're going to see that here, because that's part of the message actually coming up, if I ever get there. Praise the Lord. But I have to get there because it's so good. So even if we have to take a lunch break, come back and do it more, we'll do that. Praise the Lord. So for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is. And this is so big. Like look, the God that gives and takes away, right? We're going to talk about the God who gives and takes away. And that he is, God is, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's a reward? Well, if somebody gave you a big pile of dog poop, you wouldn't think that was a reward, would you? But so many people are expecting that from God. Yeah, they're expecting to get a big pile of snarf from God. And they how is that? That's not a reward. A reward is something that blesses you. A reward is something that you put on a shelf and that you show off. A reward is something that you invest in to have it framed and put on the wall. A reward is something that you want. Amen? It's a cash reward. Praise the Lord. Anybody that wouldn't like a cash reward right now? That's exactly what we're talking about. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligent means that you come to God and you come to God and you come to God. There's trial, you come to God anyways. You build that relationship with him. You pray to him. See, we're learning what prayer is. This is how we get into the place where we receive from God. And not that we do it just so we receive from God, but we do it so we walk out the plan of God, so we bless him too. Because, hey, your relationship, do you marry somebody you don't love? No. You marry somebody that you love, somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with. If we are married to Christ, then we should be showing that we love him. Right? Because that's exactly what it's all about. Being a Christian is not just saying you're a Christian. Listen, you don't get to carry the title unless you get to prove it. You know what I mean? You take Olympic gold medalists and stuff like this. They maintain that medal as long as they prove that they can get it. As long as they can prove that they have it. You when I grew up, it was WWF, praise the Lord. They got the belt, the big gold belt, hallelujah. And they get to wear that proudly, but they get to wear that as long as they maintain it, as long as they do the things. It's the same thing with Christianity. Christianity is a badge of honor. Being a Christian is a badge of honor. It should be shown in everything we live in. Just because you say you believe in God does not make you a Christian. Oh, that's good. But just because you say you believe in God does not make you a Christian. The Bible tells us in James that the demons believe, and it doesn't do them any good. Right? The demons believe that God is God. They know that God is God. They know that Jesus is Jesus. They can sit there and say, in fact, when Jesus confronted the demons, when he and the madman of Gadara, when they confronted him, they said, they call him Lord. They said, Jesus. They knew he was the Christ. They knew who he was, and it didn't do him a lick of good. They were still afraid. They shuddered in their boots. Why? Because they knew that he was coming to wreck house. Hallelujah. He was coming to tear some things up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just because you say you believe means nothing. It's proven in the way you act. It's proven in the way you love. It's proven in what you do. You can't be a Christian and only do things for yourself. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him in prayer. Diligently seek him in prayer. Amen? You still holding your place in Philippians? Keep it there, because we're going to come back at some point. I promise you. I got the little ribbon, so I got to use that. Otherwise, it just flops and hangs there and it looks weird. So we're going to see something here. I'm building on stuff here. So go turn with me to Matthew 8. But where are you keeping your place? Amen. So Matthew 8, in verses 1 through 4. See, people come to God all the time. People pray to God all the time. And they don't even know, they don't know what they're doing. They're asking, and it's like if you went to McDonald's drive-thru and you started ordering, like you wanted a Whopper and you wanted the BK Big Fish. You're a McDonald's drive-thru, right? And then you wanted some of you wanted some Taco Bell chalupas or something. I don't know if they even have those there, but you know what I'm saying? You start ordering all these things. They ain't going to understand you. Why? Because you're not talking their language. When you go to McDonald's, you're going to talk about Big Macs. You're going to talk about nuggets. You're going to talk about things they understand, right? You got to put Mick in front of everything or it don't work, right? That's right. You got a McFry. You want a McNugget. You want a Mc whatever, but you understand the language. The same thing is with God. People go to God all the time, and we're supposed to go to God in faith, believing him, trusting him, and yet people go and they don't even know what they're doing. Praise the Lord. We'll see this. So 1 through 4. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. And well, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, now look at that. The man who was coming to get freed, what did he do? He came and he worshipped. He came and he worshipped. That's the first thing he did. He came and he worshipped God. You want something from God, and yet you won't say, praise you, Lord, because it sounds weird. You want God to move in your situation, and yet it's so weird to say, praise the Lord. Come on, people attack our churches all the time because we're a vocal church. Because we're doing the very thing the Bible tells us to do. The very thing. Religious people who say they believe in this will attack us because we do the thing that it tells us to do right here. Yeah, well, that's why they go without. And that's why they believe in a God that doesn't do anything, because they never see God doing anything. Why? Because they're not doing the word. We're not so special. Listen, I'm not so special. I haven't done something so wonderful. All I've done is done the word. I'm an idiot doing the word, and I get everything that the word says. Amen? You don't have to be real intelligent to get this stuff. Praise the Lord. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So what did he do? He recognized Jesus, who he was. He recognized him by calling him Lord. He worshipped him. And then he came to him and he said, I know that you can. Right? Yeah. But see, Jesus is going to take a little step further. Now you understand, these people are still learning about Jesus. We are at the place where we should have learned Jesus. We should have already known him. So we don't get to ask the same questions they got to ask. This is still before Jesus died. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We see a lot of things in here that are really important to understand. The guy worshipped Jesus. They believed Jesus could. But he came to Jesus not really knowing if he was. Now see, this is the thing. We are given a whole book of telling us what God is willing to do and what he's not willing to do. And so if you go to God and you say, Lord, if it be your will, you don't have any idea. You don't know who your God is. Because Jesus already said it was his will. I am willing. Well, let me ask you this. You say, well, that's what he said to him. Okay, so if you have two kids, one kid says to you, Dad, you can make this better in my life. Would you do it? And you say, yes. Your second kid comes to you and says, Dad, you can make the same thing better in my life. Would you say no? Mom, would you say no? Of course you wouldn't. Why? Because you love all. Jesus didn't die just for that leper. He died for all of us. He paid the price. He said, by his stripes, we were healed. Amen? That was his plan for all of us. But why do people? Because they don't ever go to the package. They never open the package that was given to them. Praise the Lord. But what Jesus instructed him to do, he instructed him to go his way and show himself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony. They had to bring a gift. When God did something in the Old Testament, they brought a gift. They were so thankful. They brought something to God. They said, here, God, this is a sign of my gratitude. Yeah. Praise God. Have you ever had that happen? I'm a big door holder. I even holding doors. Amen. And I'm a believer in letting people go out in front of me in cars, you know, like letting someone go at a stop sign or something. But have you ever done that and the person is like they refuse or they've done it and they just haven't even acknowledged you? Doesn't it annoy you? Isn't it annoying? You know what I mean? You hold the door for somebody and they just walk through or not even acknowledge your existence. You're welcome, you know. You know what I'm saying? Not that we do it for that, but you understand what the feeling. It's annoying when people do that. Well, how do you think God feels? He gave us his son. He did all this wonderful stuff. He gave us his son to die for our sins so we could have all this stuff and have access to him so we could have access to him. And then his people, first of all, they don't even care about the access because they never even access him. They never go to God in prayer. They never lift his name up. They never so much as say, thank you, God. I told you about this story before, and I'll share it again. I had a woman in a place I used to work. It was a factory I used to work in. And this woman came to me and she said it was about her uncle or something like that. It was very, very sick and like at the point of almost death and stuff. And she's like, you know, would you pray? And she came to me because she knew I was a religious guy, you know, and that's what a lot of people do. They go to the religious guy, or that's how they perceive me. So they go to the religious guy to pray for something. And yeah, we'll pray. Yeah, you know, I'll pray. And so I did. And, you know, it was a few weeks later or something like that, she come back to me and she said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that my uncle's doing much better. You know, of course, I'm like, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is praise the Lord, glory to God. People think it's weird at that point. They'll come to you for prayer, but when you say praise the Lord after the prayer is answered, they act like it's weird. So what did you want me to pray for? Did you want me to just pray to the trees? Did you want me to pray to the chairs? What were you asking me to pray for? But you know, as she walked away from me, the Spirit of the Lord spoke on the inside, and I have no way of knowing this, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke on the inside of me, and he said, she never thanked me. She never thanked me. We see that example in Scripture. We saw, was it 10 lepers that were cleansed by God, by Jesus? 10 of them. And I think only one of them, or a couple of them, whatever, came back. Yeah, only one of them returned to say thank you and offer his life. The madman of Gadara, when he was set free, you know what he did? He didn't go on and continue living his life the way he wanted to. He came back and served the Lord. Yeah, there's something in it. When God sets you free, it's a slap in the face of God to turn around and say, well, it doesn't matter to me. And then people wonder why stuff comes back upon them. Yeah. People would be cleansed from Jesus said to somebody healed, he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What is sinning? Sinning is just doing the opposite of what God tells us to do. If you, like, listen, if God has redeemed you from your life, from something that was killing you or whatever in your life, if you just return after you've been redeemed to that thing, guess what you're going to get? That thing. you're going to get, actually, it's going to be worse. The Bible says it'll be worse that comes upon you. Why? Because not because God is pouring out his wrath, but because you said the blood of Christ didn't matter. You say, well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did by your actions. See, this is the thing. When I was set free, when I really learned about God setting people free, I learned something. I learned it mattered what I believed to God. I learned it mattered what I did. And so I decided, you know what? From this point on, I'm living my life for God. He didn't say that's just for pastors. Because I wasn't a pastor. I was just some yokel in the church. I was just some guy who sat there, cut the lawn. Sometimes I'd fix things in the church. I didn't do anything good. I wasn't anything special. Why did God make me a pastor? Well, that was his plan, but I didn't know that then. If I had known that then, I probably wouldn't have come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you understand, we're talking about going to God in prayer. You know, see, this guy came to God. This leper came to Jesus, and he asked him. He supplicated, amen? He came, first he worshiped him, that would be really prayer, and then he supplicated, he asked him, and then he received what he had, and then what set him free, and then the Lord told him what to do, to go offer, you know, he's trying to help him here, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. So we don't ask God if it be your will anymore, because we know what his will is. Asking God, if it be your will, Lord, if it's your will, heal me, that is not asking in faith, and that is not prayer. All that is saying some religious thing that you heard one time, and it isn't going to get you a lick at anything. Nothing. There is nothing. There's no power in that. The word of God is shown with power. The kingdom of God is shown in power. What is the power? It is believing that God will manifest. Praise the Lord. There's been times where I've looked at people, I'm going to lay hands on them, and I've said, the power of God is going to come on you when I lay hands on you. How do I know whether it will or not? I don't know. Except that I know I have direction of God to say that, and so I say that, and it takes something to step out and say that, because when you lay hands on somebody, if the power of God doesn't come on you, they can always say, well, you don't know. But see, I believe that the power of God, and I've found that the times when I have, and I believe that with all my heart, that the power of God falls, praise the Lord. Sometimes you don't even know that something has happened to people, but it's experience with God. God wants his people to experience him. He wants them to know him, praise the Lord. And so God, he didn't send Jesus to the cross so that we couldn't get into that place of prayer and ask him things and know that we would have the petitions of our hearts. He wanted us to know. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, it's unwise if you don't know the will of God. If you go to the Lord and say, Lord, if it be your will, you are being unwise. That's another way of saying you're stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't go to God stupid. Go to God with some boldness and understanding. I know this is your will. And if you don't know what the will of the Lord is, before you go to him, you find out what the will of God is. Because if you go to God and you're all wishy-washy, and we'll probably see that here too, but if you go to God, you're all wishy-washy, you ain't receiving nothing. Praise the Lord. If you go to pray and you don't know what his will on what you're praying for, you are not in the place of receiving. You cannot receive from God if you don't know what his will is, because you have no idea whether he'll give it to you or not. And God doesn't want us to ask not knowing. The Bible tells us the just live by faith. That's in who God is and what he does. That's what faith is. Amen. Now, I know you've been waiting for this. You've been like, Pastor Jeff, I've been itching to go back to Philippians because I knew you were going to get to something in there. Well, guess what? You can go there now. Philippians 4:7. See, that's why we put the ribbons in the Bible, because I just flipped there. See how quick I went there? I'm like a ninja flipper. Hallelujah. Ninja Philippian flipper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what did we read before? We read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. That means you go to God and say, Lord, I thank you for all you've done for me. You've done so much for me, Lord. I know you'll do this too. Lord, you set me free. Praise the Lord. That's what Thanksgiving is, being thankful. You know, it's nice to be thankful, right? Praise the Lord. Let your request be made known to God. Now, what's it say in verse 7? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. People say, well, I prayed, but I don't have the peace. It's because they didn't go to pray right. You didn't pray, you didn't go to God, you didn't know what prayer was, you didn't go to God the way you were supposed to go. He's told us how to come to him. with prayer and supplication, believing, building a relationship with God. Listen, if you have no relationship with God, then you aren't going to have peace afterwards. That's why somebody who comes in here for the first time and wants help from God, I can get them help from God, but I can only get it to them if they stay in church. That's why whenever I counsel people, I say, if you're not in church, I can't counsel you. Why? Because there's no, it's pointless. Because the only counsel I offer is the counsel from the Word of God. If you won't be in church, I can't help you in counseling. I can't get you there. I can't get you to the other side because you're not hearing the Word. You have to get the truth in you, because once you get the truth in you, what happens is when you go to God and pray, then you know. And when you know that God's going to answer, when you know that God's going to get you through, when you know that God is going to do everything that you ask Him to, then you go to Him and you realize, wait a minute, I asked God, I know He's going to answer. That's when you can kick back and relax. Amen? Praise the Lord. They say a big storm is coming. Tornadoes are abounding. They're going to hit everywhere. They're coming everywhere. You'd start freaking out a little bit, right? They say, well, actually, they're going to hit everywhere but Mayville. We know for an absolute fact they are not going to touch Mayville. Would you be worried? Would you be like wringing your hands? What are we going to do? No, you'd be out on your hammock, relaxing in the wind and the breeze, and being all happy for life because it wasn't coming to Mayville. See, that's exactly what it is. Christians should get to the place where they understand who God is. They know that, wait a minute, God is going to do these things for me. But see, listen, if you don't build that relationship with God, this is part of His part. I'm going to share this with you. Part of His part is when you build that relationship with God, it doesn't always happen instantly the first time you pray. But what happens is you spend that time and you set aside a little bit of time to praise God and worship Him and get to know Him more and build a relationship with Him. Then what happens is He starts dealing with your heart on things. He starts dealing inside you on things. And all of a sudden you'll find, has there been anybody in here that said, you know what, there's things that used to bother me, they don't bother me anymore. Why is that? That's God dealing with your heart. You say, wait a minute, there was things I used to be all torn up about and I didn't know what to do. And now I just don't think about it. That's God dealing with your heart. There's peace that comes with knowing God. And see, God will manifest Himself to you. But as long as we have churches that still teach people that God won't manifest Himself to you, that you don't know God any more than you know Santa Claus, well, then you are never going to know God. You're never going to have that. It matters where you go. It matters what you hear. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. He said to take heed what you hear. Think about what you hear and take hold of it. And make sure that if you're hearing something that's garbage, you throw it out. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This is why people look at us, they think we're nuts. They say, how can you be happy? You're going through the worst trial of your life. How can you be happy? Because I'm a child of the living God, and I know the end from the beginning. I know what He's going to do in me because I know what He did. My God is the everlasting God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He was from everlasting to everlasting. My God knows every hair on my head. He knows every sand on the seashore. He has them numbered. My God cares about me. He loves me, and because I know that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the peace. Praise the Lord. This is the joy. This is the happiness. This is the, I'm not bound anymore. This is the truth setting His stinking people free. Hallelujah. That's what the Word does. It sets us free because we know the truth, and we get saturated with the truth that we don't live in the snarf of sin and all that stuff anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was easy for me to say. God is good. He's taken us somewhere. What is peace? It's knowing you receive. It's knowing you receive. It's knowing you receive. If you don't know you receive, then you need to get in the Word and get it built in you more. And then come back to it. Wait a minute. Okay. I know, Lord. I know I'm receiving. You're like, well, I'm not quite sure. So you go back to the Word and you get it built in you a little more. Word on the thing, on whatever you need. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, turn with me to Mark 11:22. See, He's taken us somewhere. God wants us, He wants His people full of knowledge. God, you know, some people thought that religion is to brainwash people and take the knowledge away from them, but it's just the opposite. The knowledge of God is the most beautiful wisdom you can have. It teaches you how to live, and if you're not around, if you don't ever hear it, you don't know it. You don't know, and that's why you still live the same life you always did. And this is what I love about this. Because there's people in the world that reject the knowledge of God, They want the things that you got. They want the change that you have in your life. They want what you have, but they won't have it because they won't receive God. But they do the same thing they always done. They still reject the same God over and over and over. They reject the same wisdom over and over and over. And they're like, why does my life never change? It's because they never receive what God has for them. They never receive the word. See, God didn't give us the Bible because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us a pastor because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us a church because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us his son because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us all these wonderful things. He didn't give us prayer because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us supplication because it doesn't matter. He didn't give us the knowledge that he's given us because it doesn't matter. Listen, why would we think we don't think that about anything else? Why do people think that about the word? Why do they think that about the things of God? People take the things of God like it's some side project, like it's something if I got time for, I'll give to it. And they wonder why they don't have the blessing of God in their life. It's because you are throwing it to the side like it's a crumb, like it's something that doesn't matter. Of course you won't have what God has provided for you. His blood, the blood of his son means much more to him. It means much more to him than for you to just toss it aside. Praise the Lord. That's why I get fired up, because I understand what the blood of Christ means. I understand what it means that he died for me and that he died for you and that he wants to bless us. He gave everything for us. I shout it on the mountaintops and people get mad at me because I say it, but I'm not going to stop saying it because I'm going to tell you something. It matters. It's the only thing that matters. Your life is 70, 80 years, give or take a few, and you will die and you will answer to God. There is only this span of time which you are here, and people want to live it just pleasing themselves and just doing what they want to do instead of ever wondering what God wants them to do, and they don't even realize there is a whole eternity afterwards that they live. A whole eternity. And it's not that God is even trying to take anything away from you here. I've never enjoyed life so much. I've never been so blessed as I have been by now. I talk to people in the world. I'm like, this is the way. This is the only way. Look at my life as a testament to that. And yet they still choose. They still choose. They still throw the blood of Christ to the side. That's what they do every time they say, well, it's not important to me. It's not important to me enough. It's more important for me. You know, that's why I talk about Christians and drinking and stuff like that. It's more important to you to be able to sit at a bar and get snookered than it is to recognize the blood of your son, the Son of God, who shed his blood for you. And you think that God is going to do anything for you? I'm going to tell you what. I would never give one hair of one of my children's life head for any of you. But if I did, I'm going to tell you right now, if I did what God did, if I allowed my son to go through what God allowed his son to go through, and you cast it to the side like it didn't matter, I would not have a problem with you going to hell. Now, I'm talking as a human, but I'm telling you the truth. People think this loving God, no, he did everything for us. But it means something to God that he allowed his son to be molested by scumbags, to be thrown in the pit of hell, to shed his blood for all of us, and then for us to cast it aside like it doesn't matter. Build a relationship with God, and you will find everything. You will find joy unspeakable. You will find a life that you never imagined. But there is one way to do it, and that's by building a relationship. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't mean it to get that serious, but praise the Lord. Mark 11:22, look at what Jesus himself said to us. 11:22. Praise God, hallelujah. Mark 11:22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe what he said. Have faith in who God is. Believe what he does. Believe who he is. Have faith in God. If you want things to change, if you want the power of God, have faith in God. That's what he's addressing here. If you read it in context, if you go back and read just before then, praise the Lord. Have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have almost anything he wants. He will have whatever he says. That's what the word of God says. That's what Jesus himself said. He said, if you believe and you speak, you will have. If you believe and you speak. Praise the Lord. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He said it again, just in case you didn't hear him the first time. Verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. He says, Lord, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. You know, people talk about forgiveness all the time. They say, well, I can't forgive that. Well, you better learn how to forgive that. Because if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That's why I forgive, because I was forgiven. I don't care what they did. It doesn't matter, because God's power is much more to get me through. I don't care if they did the worst thing to me. I can forgive. I can forgive, because if you don't, it locks up the power of God. It will not work in your life. Unforgiveness will cause your life to be in ruin. It'll cause it to be a train wreck. Don't believe me? Try not forgiving somebody and see how far it gets. Amen? Praise the Lord. In verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. See, there's so many awesome promises here. Jesus said you'll have whatever you say, whatever you speak to. He said you'll have the mountain turned around. It will. Praise God. Amen? You'll be set free. You'll have all these. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You'll have it if you say it and you believe it. Amen? That's why it's important to build faith in us. Job 42:10 says, and Job went through hell on earth, and his friends were no good. They were no good. They were telling him that he was going through hell because he must have screwed everything up. And Job 42:10 says, as this is after God was about to restore him, it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. You say when he forgave his friends. If you're in unforgiveness, your prayers won't work. What you go to God with won't work. It just won't work. Don't bother. Get working on the forgiveness and then go to God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when my brother built a house down in the middle of a field, and it was literally in the middle of a field. And he had to put this really long road. It's like a quarter mile road to get down there. You know something, Bill? If he didn't put that road, if he didn't lay down the proper things, had the proper things put in, they spent a lot of money putting this huge long road in. If they hadn't done that, though, they'd never get to their house. Because 3/4 of the year, it's wet down there. 3/4 of the year, even the best 4-wheel drive wouldn't get you through it. It's going to go so far, and then it would stop. See, if it's the same thing with us in life. If we don't lay the right things down, and then move forward, we can't get to the goal because we've never laid the right things down. You've never put the base down. And what you're doing is just sink up to your axles and spinning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I remember I was at Denny's shop one day, and I overheard a phone conversation of somebody who had gone down a road. It was one of those roads that were, between this time of the year and this time of the year, there ain't no maintenance on it. You know what I mean? So they got part way down, and they got down, I think they got down below where the tow truck could haul them out. And he's like, well, you're kind of out of luck then. There's not much you can do. He told the driver, you just got to come back. You can't get them out. If you can't get them out, you can't get them out. See, that's what people do with God all the time. They get their lives in such, they go down the unmaintained roads. They go down the direction where I wasn't trying to listen to your conversation, by the way, brother. I was just there, and I heard it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's kind of like, praise the Lord. But people are going in life all the time. They're going down these roads that they can't, that are just full of all these obstacles and things that get them stuck. And instead of preparing it, instead of going to the way that's paved, instead of going the way that has solid base, that has a solid foundation, they're going down the way that there's no promise to. And then when they get stuck, they cry out to God. But you can get to a place where you're too far down the road. You can get to the place. And what do I mean by this? It means that there's people that can go so far in life that they can't be healed. They can get saved, but they can't be healed because they've gone too far. I've seen that before. Yes, absolutely. There's people that have gone so far that they can't restore relationships because they've gone too far down that road. Amen? There's things that we have to understand. Praise the Lord. God wants to help us. He's providing every way, but he's talking to us now. Amen? The Bible says today, if you'll hear his voice, where'd the time go? Praise God. Praise the Lord. I got to skip a whole section that I really wanted to preach, but I want to read to you this. This is James 4:1 through 3, and this is in the Amplified Version. I bring this because really, it really brings it out, and I just love this. What leads to strife? Discord and feuds. And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? This is real easy to see. Any war, you know, like we're facing things right now. There may be areas where we may have to go into war. War isn't something that even God ever wanted, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's necessary. We don't like war. It's not wonderful. But sometimes when you got somebody who's going to go down that road, you have to meet them there. You have to meet them with the resistance. But what it's saying here is it's your sensual desires. It's what causes problems and conflicts between people is when they won't decide to love the way God said to love and just put it down. Sometimes you just get, I know they didn't apologize, but guess what? Jesus didn't deserve to die on the cross, but he certainly did for us, didn't he? Yeah, he died for a whole bunch of sinners, and he didn't need to, he didn't have to, he chose to. So sometimes we have to just put it down. Sometimes we have to say, you know what, it's not good enough. I'd rather be in peace. The Bible says it's peace at all costs, by the way. So we understand that wars, conflicts, fighting, discord, all these things, they only happen because of our own bodies, our own lusts, our own desires. Amen? You are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. And I love it because it explains it here. It says, to hate is to murder as far as your hearts are concerned. Jesus said that. He said, if you hate, you murder. Yeah, you people hate. I see Christians who hate what other Christians have. They're murdering. That's exactly what they're doing. Jesus said it's as good as murder. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification and the contentment. And I'll say this. The only reason that one Christian ever hates what another Christian has is because they don't believe who their God is. That's the truth. Because if you know who your God is, you know he gave it to you too. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Listen, this is a big thing. Greed is a big thing in this world, but people think greed are only by the ones who have money. No, greed is also by all the ones who want to take the money from other people. The ones who say, well, I think you have too much, so you need to give to me. That's greed too. That's as much greed as somebody who won't pay his employees good pay. Yeah, absolutely. It is not God. Wealth is of God. And if you have a problem with it, you have a problem with God. Praise the Lord. Take it up with him. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek, so you fight and war. And look at what he says here. You do not have because you do not ask. See, this is about praying. People don't go to God. They don't go, instead of getting mad, they don't say, you know, Lord, praise you for all your goodness and everything. Lord, I know you'll bring good things to me too. See, this is exactly what it's talking about. Or you do not ask, or you do ask for God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on your sensual pleasures. In other words, it's like, Lord, get me out of this financial situation, and as soon as you do, the first thing you do is you just go shopping for yourself. You don't bring that gift like Moses, like he said, bring to Moses. Like Jesus said, you don't bring the gift, the sacrifice back. You say, well, Lord, I want a better job. I want a better job. He gives you a better job. You stop coming to church and you stop giving. Or you don't increase your giving. Praise the Lord. Every single place in my life. Listen, I'm over. I'm telling you, I'm over it. Standing before people and having people. If you get mad about me because I mentioned money, then you're the fool, not me. Go somewhere else. Go somewhere that won't talk to you about it. Because I'm just trying to get it in people. I want to see every single one of you so stinking wealthy that everybody looks at this place and say, why is that church covered in gold? That's what I want to see. I want to see everybody with more than enough. But you'll never get there if you have bad attitude about money. And a bad attitude about money is if you get mad at the preacher because he talks about it when he's trying to help you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You do not ask God for them, and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Lord, get me out of this trial. And the only reason you want God to get you out of that trial is because you just don't want to have the trial anymore. You don't have any intent in changing. You don't have any intent in being good. You don't have any intent in doing what God wants you to do. See, this is why people ask God and they don't receive. Because I've seen this so many times. People come to me, pray with me about this. So we pray about that, and then they're gone. I've had people in this church I prayed with, spent time with, that don't even come here anymore. Because they got what they got their fix, or they got whatever, and they're gone. See ya. Praise the Lord. That's a great gratitude to God. God won't But see, God knows that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this. I know you're all ready. We'll close with this. 2 Chronicles 7:14, also in the Amplified. The only reason I'm not looking at my regular Bible is because I don't have the Amplified in there. I have it on here, though. 2 Chronicles 7:14, in the Amplified says, if my people, who are called by not my name, not mine, but God, shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face. That's knowing God for God and not just knowing God for what he can give you. Right. What do you do when you seek someone's face? You want to. If my people, this is a promise of God, my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humble themselves to say, you know what, I can't do it by my own. This isn't all about me. This is about you, God. This is about what you've done, Lord. This is humbling yourselves. Shall humble themselves, pray, seek, and crave, and require of necessity my face. Lord, I can't go on anymore without knowing you deeper. I can't go any further without knowing you. I want to be saturated with you, God. I know I want these other things, but I want to lay them aside just so I can love you and seek you and crave you and desire more of you. I want the move of God in my life. I want to see you come back to this earth, Lord. I want to see your church look the way you want it to look. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. This is seeking God. This is requiring his face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, people want to know why stuff like the shootings and stuff like that happen in this country. This is the answer. If the church would stand up and start really, would they just stop getting so wrapped up in programs and their light shows and their fog machines, and they would actually look to God, the God who does all this anyways, and put aside all the earthly things and just look to God because that's who does it. Turn from their wicked ways, his people turning from their wicked ways. It still applies today, much more so even. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Praise the Lord. This is what God wants to do in all of us. This is what he wants to do through prayer. This is what he wants to do with us. It starts with just one of you. I don't care if all of you didn't get it, but one of you changed today and said, you know what? I'm going to seek God a little bit more. I'm just going a little bit deeper. I just want a little bit more. If one of you do that, you could start changing. You could start a chain reaction that would change the entire world. One person. Listen, Jesus did it, and he gave us the power. He gave us the ability. We can do it too. God wants to bring good things in our life. If we're so focused on the bad stuff, and I said this Sunday or Friday in closing because it came upon my spirit, and I'm going to say it again. There's so many people who focus on the God who brings trial instead of focusing on the God who conquers trial. The God who gets us over. People are focused on this. You know, they always talk about the God who gives and takes away instead of focusing on the God who gives and gives again. The God who gives and gave so much that there was nothing more he could give. The God who gives everything up front. The God of victory. The God of conquering. The God who always prevails. Praise the Lord. The God who always blesses his people. Hallelujah. This is what God has for us. Let's get into prayer. Let's start seeking God. Let's start going after him, saying, Lord, I just want you more. He said, you don't have to ask anything. I purpose in my heart just to keep my heart before God. Just sometimes I'll be whatever I'm thankful for. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I'll be driving down the street. Lord, thank you for this wonderful vehicle that you've provided for me. Lord, thank you for the house that you provided. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. There's things we can find to thank God for. Build that relationship with him and watch what happens in your life. Watch what he does for you, amen? Praise the Lord.